been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, August 5th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. We've got a surge going on in the market today. Right now, the Dow up 169 after being down some 300 yesterday. We're still shy of 35,000, but we seem to be surging in that direction. 34,968 right now on the Dow. A couple of big earnings winners today, and we own two of them. Two big earnings winners for us, and there's also some disasters we don't own, but they're pretty high-profile stocks that we'll talk about. NASDAQ's up 53 right now. That puts the NASDAQ at 14,834 as its quest for 15,000 continues. The S&P 500 is up 17 points, 4419. The Russell 2K small caps, they're having a good day. It's up 0.75%. Crude oil up 24 cents. It seems like that crude oil move and the move in those energy stocks, that ended about 2 months ago, and it doesn't look like it's coming back anytime soon. Crude oil at $68.39. Gold is down $11.80 at $1,802, and it's been mired in that $1,700 to $1,800 area for quite some time. Silver's down 30 cents to $25.17. The 10-year moving up just a couple of basis points here this morning. There's some pretty wild predictions out there for the 10-year. We'll look at that here in a bit. 1.20 is that we're at right now. And Bitcoin not having a good day. It's getting bit a little bit, down $828 to $38,124. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager with Southport Capital. You know, I looked at the market yesterday pretty hard, and, you know, the Dow was down 300 points, something like that. But, you know, underneath the surface, I could see a lot of bubbling and gurgling going on, especially in the really fast-growing quality, not speculative tech stocks, and not necessarily the big ones, but the cybersecurity software stocks, for instance, the software enterprise stocks, for instance, kind of the mid-cap range, maybe the small, large cap. Saw a lot of gurgling. I was very active in the market yesterday, not selling. Oh, no. I was buying in the market, and I've been emboldened by this big surge and big beat in earnings this quarter, which to me, that's really my number one indicator, is the direction of earnings and the direction of earnings expectations. And as long as that direction is up, I'm a buyer. And when those when that direction starts to level off and turn down, then we'll see. Then I pretty much become a seller, depending on other circumstances out there. But yesterday, you know, even though, like I say, a bad day for the Dow, that's the headline. Dow down 320 points today. But underneath the surface, the market actually looked really vibrant yesterday, believe it or not. And a lot of that downward move in the Dow was just a few stocks, too. You got to take that into consideration. Just a few stocks, and, of course, you got some 5,000, 6,000 stocks underneath those few stocks, and they tell a better story for me than just that headline. All right, well, what have we got going on here today so far? You know, we had that terrible jobs report yesterday. It was really grim. It was a grim report. There's nothing to be proud of there. In an economy that's opening back up, in an economy where there's all this demand to travel again, to go out to restaurants, to go to shopping malls, to go to theaters, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty pathetic that we only created 350,000 jobs for the month, which missed the estimate of 800,000. Now, that's the kind of unofficial report that precedes the big non-farm payrolls report, which we get tomorrow. So we'll see if the non-farm payrolls report can come in a little bit better than the grim report that we got yesterday. Really disappointing. PMI composite, U.S. composite, not impressive yesterday. It tweaked just barely past the estimates, nothing to write home about. But the ISM services index, boy, I'll tell you, all this ISM and PMI, it's hard to keep track of. CPI, PPI, you name it. You keep on, but it's all important. I'm not saying it's not important. ISM services index roars past consensus in July, so that's a good report. And then we had the jobless claims this morning. It was okay, all right? Jobless claims are still at 385,000. You know, it just seems like jobs are everywhere. We shouldn't have this high of jobless claims number, but it is what it is, 385,000. Other things impacting the market today, really the big, all the big stories are going to come when I start reporting on some of these stocks, some high-profile stocks, too, that have reported earnings today. A few disasters and a few stocks really bolting higher here this morning. China continues to roil the markets in one way or another. They are big buyers. They're stepping up production at their steel mills, and this is driving iron ore prices down. And this is impacting the material stocks, okay? I own a few in that iron ore steel area. Iron ore sell-off accelerates with China futures giving up all year-to-date gains. Okay, those are two different things there, but it's in the same headline. China is flat on the year. Their stocks have had a miserable time, and you don't have to look any further than the Communist Party of China, the CCP, at what they've done, either bad-mouthing or clamping down or whatever, combination of the two, really has clobbered the Chinese stocks. They've given up all year-to-date gains, while the U.S. market has done a lot better than China this year. In addition to this, the China stocks are a big part of the emerging markets. And a lot of people in 401ks, in IRAs and Roths, they have exposure, or they have the ability to get exposure to the emerging markets. Just keep in mind that a big part of those emerging markets is China. So when you buy the emerging markets and think you're getting into all these hot, fast-growing little markets that are just kind of getting started and emerging, well, one of those is China. And it's pretty heavy influence on the emerging markets. I don't know if I would want any exposure to China whatsoever. And you can take that further, saying, you know, I don't know that I want any exposure to the emerging markets either right now. They're pretty volatile, and China has been leading them lower. Now they're after the iron ore stocks, as they are stepping up their production of steel and iron ore, trying to push prices lower. Now, there's a lot of opinions on the market. Every day there's opinions on the market, both good and bad. There's permabulls that are always a positive on the market. There's permabears that are always negative on the market. Well, you know what? I go with where the earnings expectations and the earnings are. But when we come back, two big analysts weigh in on the market, one from Citigroup making a very bold prediction about interest rates and the bond market and the impact that could have on the stock market, And the second market prediction comes from Goldman Sachs chief U.S. equity strategist David Kostin, and what he's doing with his S&P 500 target prices for 2021 and 2022. And that's very, very important as these two big firms weigh in on their opinions of the market. Which one do you go with? Which of these opinions do you go with? What are these opinions? What do they see for the market going forward? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. I put my neck on the line every single week in my newsletter and tell you what my macro outlook on the market is. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, these macro opinions, they range wildly from one market analyst to the next. Citigroup downgrades U.S. stocks to neutral in anticipation of a surge in yields. Now, one lesson I've learned over the is you can't really anticipate anything anymore. You can't guess what's going to happen to interest rates. You can't guess what's going to happen to inflation. That's just my experience, okay? Now, they're anticipating, and they're basing their opinion on what they anticipate. I think that's a mistake myself, but they're welcome to their opinion. They think there's going to be a big rally in nominal and real treasury yields, which will leave U.S. equities in an unfavorable position. Well, just from my perspective, I would wait to see that start to happen. We're not seeing that happen right now. 10 years at 1.20. They're calling the recent rally in government bonds largely technical, okay, just based on the charts. Says Robert Buckland, chief global equity strategist at Citigroup. He's forecasting the 10-year Treasury yield to rise to 2% through 2022. So he's not saying by the end of the year, but through 2022. We're at 1.20 right now. If we go to 2%, that would be 80 basis points. And you saw what happened to the high-flying tech stocks earlier this year in February and March, when Treasury yields went up to about 1.80. So, you know, it would be time to get out of the way of the high flyers, the Shopify's of the world, the Tesla's of the world, if interest rates started shooting up, because what that does is it contracts the multiples. And the higher the multiple, the bigger the contractions. So, you know what? We'll see. The 10-year, like I say, is currently at 1.20. Buckland further says the bond market is trying to tell us that it's worried that the Delta COVID variant may hold back a global economic recovery. The market is now convinced that the current inflationary upturn is transitory. Is it convinced, or does curve flattening, which has been going on, suggests potentially overzealous monetary tightening? What a policy mistake is now imminent. Well, will the Fed make a policy mistake? That's been one of the biggest causes of bear markets in the past. Over action by the Fed. Well, if anything, I'm seeing under action by the Fed. And he also goes on to say that maybe the bond market is worried about a China slowdown. Well, that's all well and good. That's one opinion out there. Citi strategist Tobias Lefkowitz has a target of 4,000 for the S&P 500. 4,000. We're currently at 4,400. We're 400 points above that. Okay. Now we go to Goldman Sachs. Across the street, I guess, from Citigroup, I don't know. They hiked their S&P 500 targets for 2021 and 2022. They say better earnings and lower rates are bullish for the broader market. So they're taking almost the opposite stance from Citigroup. Well, I can tell you that Goldman Sachs has been a lot better stock over the years than Citigroup's stock, okay, if that means anything. But Goldman's chief U.S. strategist, David Kostin, is raising his target for the S&P 500 to 4,700, okay, for the next, what, 6 months or so, 4,700. We're currently at 4,400. And he's raising his target price 2022 from 4,600 to 4,900, 4,900, okay? That's what Goldman Sachs is doing today. They're upping next year's target price from 4,300 to 4,700, and they're raising 2022's target price from 4,600 to 4,900. Now, I would invite you to take a look at the Gunderson weekly newsletter, Best Stocks Now, and see how my target prices compare with Goldman Sachs target prices. Again, you can get that at my website, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Now, what would be the reason for Goldman Sachs raising their target prices? It's based on earnings expectations. We have had a blowout quarter this quarter. This earnings season has been a smasher, as I said in my newsletter last week. And when earnings expectations go up, target prices go up. But Citigroup, they're more focused on interest rates, which, yes, interest rates are going to play a very big role. But at the end of the day, earnings, earnings, earnings is what drives the stock market. The bond market, obviously, is driven by interest rates, interest rates, interest rates. So, yes, if interest rates go back up to 2%, that's not going to be pretty for the high flyers, the Shopify's, the Teslas of the world. But if interest rates remain tame like they are right now at 1.20, those earnings estimates look pretty doggone good out there on the horizon, out there on the in the future. Okay, the SEC weighs in again yesterday on the crypto. If anything, I see them getting friendlier, cozying up to the cryptos a little bit. Gary Gensler, who is the new chair of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, also known as the SEC, he said that cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin represent a speculative asset class. Well, okay. I mean, in an asset allocation, I suppose one would consider now adding a little Bitcoin to their asset allocation, although I wouldn't recommend that. But which bucket would that go in? It's not going to go into the safe income bucket, is it? It's going to go in the very speculative bucket. And he believes that that requires more regulation in order for it to meet its potential. And that's where I think he's warming up to it a little bit, because he's saying it has potential. Gensler told CNBC that he was pro-innovation. That's another positive for Bitcoin. But the rules of the road for crypto need to give investors adequate protection. So we'll see. I think, if anything, they're warming up to it a little bit. And I think it's just a matter of time before you start to see some Bitcoin ETFs out there. I mean, everybody and their cousin has filed for a Bitcoin ETF. And it is going to happen. There is now a Bitcoin mutual fund out there, brought to you by the folks at Pro Funds. Now, when we come back, Kathy Woods making some very controversial moves here. I'll weigh in on that. And then a couple of our stocks are blowing the lid off of earnings today and moving higher. And there's a couple disasters, and there's a big name that you have to wonder, will it ever make a penny in profits? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. You know, the market about a month ago, let's see, 3 weeks ago, I got down to just 413 B-plus or better ranked stocks. As there just wasn't any direction. There was no leadership in the market. I've seen quite an improvement since then, and leadership definitely has emerged in the market. You know, that's part of the sector analysis that I do on a daily basis. But even more than that, it's looking at all of those individual stocks every day and seeing a cluster, you know, in a certain sector or a certain asset class or whatever. And I've definitely seen leadership emerge, which I'll be pointing out in this week's newsletter. New leadership is emerging in the market right now. It's pretty narrow. But we have improved from 413 B-plus or better ranked stocks in my database. It has about 5,900 in it altogether. We're now up to 674. We've gone from 455 to 674. And in the momentum area, I get down to just 68 A-plus momentum stocks. These are the strongest stocks in the entire market. And right now we're back to 120. So there's plenty to choose from right now. I was going nuts here over the last couple of weeks, seeing little things that I could just tell they were getting ready to break out. They were building momentum. The momentum was building. They were moving up in rank. And I've actually done quite a bit of buying. You should take a look at my current portfolio's pretty powerful lineup, I think, in all of those. And there's still some dogs that are dogging me, and I'm looking to upgrade those as I find stocks to replace them with. But we've been kind of surging here recently, and I want to keep that going, obviously, because there's finally a little bit of direction in the market. If you think about it, you know, January was just kind of more of the same of what we had last year with all the speculative stuff really working. And then all of a sudden you had a huge run higher in interest rates that just took all of those speculative stocks, knocked them right out of the ballpark, just clobbered them, ran them over with a bowling ball. And then, you know, I mean, all of the stocks that benefit from higher interest rates started to take charge. And then guess what happened? Interest rates turned around and started coming back down again and taking a lot of those stocks that benefit from higher interest rates down with them. And I wouldn't say the speculative stocks started coming back. That wasn't the case at all. They still look horrible. Horrible. I'm talking about the EV startups and the battery startups and things like this, telehealth, things that used to lead the market, working from home, this kind of thing. No, the action went to really good growth stocks with good relative strength and valuations that you could make some sense out of. That's right in my that's right in my hitting zone there. That's what I like to hit if I was a batter waiting for the pitches that I like to knock out of the park. And a lot of those have come along, and there's a lot more that I'm seeing line up right now. So you might want to check out this week's newsletter. It'll be like a loaded baked potato, everything on it, a lot of information that's underneath the surface that you don't see on the surface of the market. Only if you dig in and look at these charts, hundreds per day. I look probably at easily 1,000 per day, maybe more like 1,500, something like that. I have fast internet. That helps, obviously. And, you know, when I look at a chart, I also see my ranking. That's a potent combination when you see a stock moving up in rank and a good, healthy stock chart that looks like it's getting ready to break out. you know, when you've looked at them for 21 years, you can kind of see that look. You say, boy, that thing is like a coiled spring right now, getting ready to break. And I bought several like that yesterday, and they're breaking. I bought several over the last couple of weeks. So anyways, you might want to take a look at the Gunderson newsletter. There's very few people in this industry that get down in the weeds of the market every day like Gunderson does. And I report back to you, whether you want to listen or not. You get 2 weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And, of course, the most important several paragraphs in that newsletter every week are my macro outlook. You know, what about a guy who's been right since 2008 in the market about the big macro call on the market? That's pretty important. And I would also say that that ought to lend some credibility to what I have to say now about the market going forward from here. GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter, which I'm already starting to put a pen to a little bit here. Okay, what's Kathy Wood doing? You know what? Her and I just are at opposite ends of the spectrum, I would say. Last year, we were pretty much simpatico because we were both buying the high growth, high potential. The earnings aren't there yet. Not all the stocks that we owned or that I owned last year were like that, but I had a pretty fair sprinkling of them amongst my portfolios, and then I ran from that area of the market back in February, March of this year, and she's doubling down. She continues to double down on that area of the market. So that's where her and I took different pathways. You remember the poem, the path less traveled, and that made all the difference, and I'm going down a different path than she is. She's loading up on Robinhood, okay? God bless her. Robinhood stock jumps 16% after Kathy Wood's ARK adds to stake. Well, I had a long discussion with you about Robinhood earlier this week. And, the thing you can't control is the meme investors down, with the Reddit crowd and whatnot. Robinhood has now been public for 6 days. The symbol is Hood. I personally question the profitability of the company and sustainable growth of the company. With all the competition that there is in this space and with them going after a demographic of, low net worth kind of investors. That's what I see. I'm just telling you. Versus a Goldman Sachs or a Blackstone, which goes after very high net worth. There's bigger profit margins there. That just is logical. Anyways, Robinhood, 6 days of trading. It starts off at 38. That's where it went public. There was no interest at all at 38, okay? It traded at 38, 39 for the next couple of days. To me, that's the true gauge of what most investors think of the Robinhood IPO. But then the meme people came along, and then Kathy Wood came along, and they ran the stock to 85, okay, from 38 to 85 in 2 days. Well, now it's back to 64, so it's down 21 points from 85. That's some wild action. It's down 9% today. The trades are blinking like Christmas lights, just going off like mad. The meme investors could drive this thing higher. Now, I'm just going to tell you another thing that you may not realize. Last year, a lot of those speculative stocks were being driven by Kathy Wood. Okay, she was the big buyer in stocks that normally would not have been trading that kind of volume. But when she steps in with, she's managing, she was up to what, $65 billion. So when she buys a little stock, she buys a lot of it. And that action alone will move those stocks higher. The problem is when they start going down, she can't really get out. If she gets out, she's going to crater the stock in many cases or hurt it badly. So her action was helping Robinhood, go up to 85. And now that her action's over, it's falling 9%. I just say at the end of the day, I'm not a buyer of Robinhood. If they can prove that they can grow their earnings, if they can buck the trend. You look at all of the other discount brokers that do what Robinhood does. Take Interactive Brokers, for instance, IBKR, which would probably be, you know, the best comparable. They haven't been very successful at being very profitable and growing earnings. Now, unless Robinhood has some kind of different formula and knows how to do this, we'll see. But as for now, I'm standing, not getting in. And look at this, the owners that owned it pre-IPO, they're selling 9.3 million shares, which is half of their holdings. That's Andreessen Horowitz. They're getting out at this price. You know, they're cashing in and whatnot. But there's also some other big insiders pre-IPO that are selling the stock at this level. Now, the weirdest story of the day, and then my featured stock when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now shows. The market continues to surge. The Dow up 197, almost 200. The NASDAQ up 70. We're having a very good day in the market after a sell-off in the Dow yesterday. But underneath the surface, the market looked a heck of a lot better than what the indexes, the 300-point drop in the Dow would suggest. Okay, now here's the weirdest story of the day. Yesterday, this company, Zymergen, the symbol ZY, said that, you know, their product is just not being accepted. This is a recent IPO. And they said, we're not going to have any revenue. We're not going to sell anything this entire year. That was a big shock. And I think the stock went down 80% or something like that. Well, guess who's stepping into it? Our friend Kathy Wood. Zymergen, ZY, is up today 75% from its low, and I'm just telling you, that's her buying, okay? She's stepping in and buying the stock. But I will say this, okay, SoftBank is also a big owner of this stock, which just got pummeled. I've never seen a recent IPO like that get clobbered as badly as Zymergen did. But having said that, I said out loud yesterday, they fired their CEO, and Jay Flatley, and that name sounded familiar, is taking over. I think that's the same Jay Flatley who was one of the geniuses behind Illumina, which kind of cracked the code of genetic analysis of different diseases and whatnot. I wrote about Illumina in my book in 2013. It was one of the 60 stocks that I featured. It was $70 at that time. It's a nine-bagger since then, up ninefold since I wrote the book back in 2013. And this Jay Flatley, if that's the same one, it sounds to me like it is. I have to do a little more research. He's got a pretty good pedigree, all right? So Zymergen, ZY, was down 85% yesterday. It's up 73% today with Kathy Woods buying, but it's still been cut in half overall over the last 2 days. So we'll keep our eye on ZY. It's very interesting. It's a weird story, very weird story, but an interesting story. Okay, Uber, I wanted to just mention really quickly, will they ever make a profit? You know, those two stocks, Uber and Lyft, Uber's ranked number 3,110 overall, and Lyft is ranked number 4,273 overall. When will they be profitable? A couple of disasters today, Roku getting clobbered. It's down 6.7%. Fiverr, which was one of last year's big winners, it's down 23% today. It was a work-from-home benefit stock. But the one I want to feature today is one that we own, a recent buy, Datadog. I love the name. Send in the data dog to find your missing data. It provides a software as a service-based monitoring platform for cloud applications used by enterprises. Well, you know, I saw the pressure kind of building on this stock recently, and it was rising in rank. It hit number 9 overall about 2 months ago, and I was watching it, and the pressure continued to build, and I finally stepped in and bought some in my ultra-growth portfolios. This is a $40 billion stock, and they've put up some big, big numbers in sales growth. Their last 4 quarters, 61%, 56%, 51%, 67%. And the quarter they just reported, they are profitable. Uber and Lyft, you can make a profit. Software stocks can be very profitable. Their earnings that they just reported, their earnings were up 80%, and their revenues were up 67%. The stock's up 12.2% right now. It's up $13.88. And in the Best Stocks Now app is where that's where I first noticed it. I said, look, what is this thing? What's a data dog? Well, 1 month ago, it was ranked number 1 overall in my app, okay? 7 days ago, it was ranked number 90. 2 months ago, it was ranked number 212. Yesterday, it was ranked 61. Today, it's ranked number 8 overall in the Best Stocks Now app out of 5,831, and it has an A-plus Gunderson stock grade, my proprietary grading system, okay? So we'll make Datadog, DDOG, our featured stock of the day. It's on the aggressive side, though. I got to warn you there. Very, very aggressive. Boy, a lot of interesting stories today. And you know what? I had to wade through a lot of mediocrity. The GMs of the world, you know, GM is currently ranked. They reported earnings. GM is ranked number 2,732 overall. Yeah, they want to get into the electric car business. They're getting into the electric car business. This is, unfortunately, you know, Elon Musk has run laps around them while they've been wanting to get into the electric car business. That's a problem. And now everybody's getting into the electric car business. Ford, Volkswagen, Mercedes, BMW, Porsche, Ferrari. They're all getting into the electric car business. And then one other one here that I wanted to mention. Pretty good recovery by Jones Lang and LaSalle. JLL is a REIT. That's a shopping mall REIT, which was given up for dead almost. It has come back. Roku, disappointing. They say people going back to work has hurt them. Roku's currently ranked number 615 overall. I know that's Kathy Woods. I hate to keep mentioning her, but she's in the news constantly. Her and Elon Musk are constantly in the news every single day. That's one of her top three holdings is Roku. And Roku's getting hit on the chin here today, down 7%. I just can't justify the valuation on Roku. When you compare Roku with Netflix, the valuations are astronomical on Roku. I had owned Roku at one point in time. The other stock I'm kind of keeping an eye on here is Zoom technology. A lot of conferences are being canceled, and you know that's Zoom's sweet spot right there, so we'll keep an eye. Zoom is moving up in rank. It's not there yet, however. All right, if you'd like to, this week's newsletter is going to be a blockbuster because we kind of finally have a trend in the market here that we can hopefully make some money in and be sustainable. Go to GundersonCapital.com, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. If you just need someone to talk to manage your money, maybe, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
Securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.